one-stop shop for sports talk.
I get my sports information.
Sports.
The Weekend Rocks with Butch and Bradford. Whether it's Pats, Sox, B's, or C's, Butch Stearns and Rob Bradford put it all on the table. And they let you air it all out as well. So let's get to it. Here's Butch and Bradford on Sports Radio WEEI.
And welcome into the program. We will get to the Red Sox. We will get to talk about opening day with David Price starting on the mound tomorrow at Fenway. We'll get to the Celtics, the one Boston team right now that is assured of heading to the playoffs. We can talk Masters and all that coming up. We're here till 12:20, but we are going to continue the hockey talk. Think of this as the 4-on-4 overtime. We're not at the shootout yet. We'll get to the shootout.
3-on-3 now, Butch.
3-on-3?
It's now 3-on-3, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going back because since the Bruins aren't in the playoffs.
Back to when the Bruins were good, they had 4-on-4
there
overtime.
There you go. DJ Bean and Pete Blackburn hanging around. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We've had a whale of a morning, yeah.
What an interesting show it was.
I would imagine so, and I listened to most of the second half of it. Had some things to do early this morning, and reactions mixed about Claude. So let's continue the hockey talk at 617-779-7937. Really, once again, you're left here with the regular season not even over. There's two games tonight. By the way, how ridiculous is that? Two games late on a Sunday night on the final day.
They had I don't know about the other one, but I know that the Flyers and Islanders was because it's a makeup game.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. But I mean, why would you do that? It's like football. The NFL doesn't have a Monday night football game. The last regular season game because of the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. I can't imagine the other one wasn't a makeup game either. Right. You'd probably
think
wanna,
they were both makeup.
Yeah. I know that at least with the Flyers they had to put it. Today because the Flyers had such a busy schedule down the stretch anyway. There was no time for them to schedule
so
this
game. To your knowledge, these weren't scheduled games. So
yeah, what's the other NHL game? What's the other game other than
Washington and somebody else.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, neither of them matter.
Yeah.
So. Joey Mack giving us the high sign, walking out the door. So try both of you guys for a short answer for this. Let's start with you, Pete. Why are we sitting here today? Why are the Bruins not in the playoffs? What's the short answer to that?
Because they don't have a defense. Their defense stinks. Okay. And the team identity has been a problem all year. They don't know what they are. The team, I mean, maybe they think that they were better than they were. That seems to be the case. They bought at the deadline.
Right.
But from the very outset, most people who watch this team could tell you this was not a team that was going to do any damage in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly, Pete. I mean, they're... You don't know what they are, but you know they're definitely worse. I mean, I just look at the roster this season versus last season. Obviously,
wait a minute, say that statement you said off the top again.
They don't know what they didn't know what they were, but they were worse. They were worse than what they were.
Did the first part of what you just said contribute mostly to how they were worse? In other words, because they didn't have an identity.
No. Just like on paper, you didn't have as many good defensemen as you had last season. You changed a lot offensively, and obviously you got better offensively as a result. You scored a ton more. You got back to being what Claude Julien teams always are, which is somewhere in the top five in scoring. But the defense was so much worse. It wasn't just about not... They needed a Johnny Boychuk replacement, and the move that they made on defense was
start right.
Yeah, and the move that they made on defense was getting rid of Dougie Hamilton.
In 2015, you subtracted a top four defenseman, you got worse.
Right.
So instead of correcting that mistake again,
you doubled
this offseason,
down and exacerbated it. Yeah.
So we'll go right to the phones again. 617-779-7937. I have another sort of fundamental question for both you guys. I hear Pierre McGuire, among others, he comes on here with the midday show every week, and I hear him say, you know, I talk to Donnie Sweeney all the time, and I know his vision, and I believe in his vision. What is Donnie Sweeney's vision? What is it? If we're
hard
to buy into it, what is it?
It's hard to tell, and I don't put it solely on Don Sweeney. I put it on management. I put it on ownership, because I think that in Don Sweeney's mind, he's a bright guy. He's a development-minded guy. I think that he really, really wanted to use his kind of savviness and his cachet in the world of developing players and make that a strength to the Bruins cap-wise, because he, I'm sure in his mind, thinks if we're developing guys the right way, we can be doing what Chicago does, which is constantly turning over our roster with young guys coming up and contributing. I think, and Don, I've never heard Don say this outright, I think that that really is how Don Sweeney fancies himself. So a guy who can get more out of young guys, but clearly with the moves they've made, that's not totally what they're trying to do. They're also trying to make the playoffs. Also trying to buy and stuff.
Exactly.
And there's so much it's so paradoxical, I guess.
Hypocritical, contradictory.
That's what I'm looking for. It kind of defeats the purpose of what you think they're doing. So I don't think that Don Sweeney's always playing to his strengths as a GM. And I think that so far with the trades he's made, I think there's a learning curve with making trades and with signing contracts. And I think that so far it's not been great with Don Sweeney. But for as much criticism as I give Don Sweeney and for as much as I shine the light on, it's okay for us to say the GM's not doing a good job. I can't ignore Cam Neely, and I can't ignore ownership, because whether it's Neely or ownership that's demanding they get to the playoffs, it defeats the purpose of everything else they're trying to do.
So I want to get to Cam in a second, but Pete, do you agree with that? Is Don Sweeney's philosophy, in my words, what Theo Epstein said when he took over the Red Sox? We want to build a scouting and development machine. And to Theo's credit, in my opinion, he did build that, and that was the basis, I think, of the Red Sox World Series championships over the last 10 or 15 years. Does Don Sweeney want to build, is he a disciple of Theo? Does he want to build a scouting and development machine?
Well, if that's the case, they got off to a real bad start because they had three picks in last year's draft and they missed the one can't miss guy, which is Kyle Connor. And they passed on him three times. And he was who a lot of people thought and should have won the Hobey Baker this year. And he didn't, but he was the best player in college.
So when they drafted Jacob Zboril with the 13, so they had 13, 14, 15. I was starting to, obviously there's so much going on at the draft and everyone's running around scurrying. I was starting to text somebody who knows about this sort of stuff. I said, is there incentive to take use a defenseman with the first pick instead of a forward? Like basically will Connor's entry-level contract be less because he was drafted 15th instead of 13th? And then they picked Jake DeBrusk and you're like, okay, well now it's kind of getting weird. They should probably make sure are they going to keep all three of these picks, and then they keep them all and they don't spend any of them on, as Pete said, the one can't miss guy.
Let me go back to the vision, because in fairness and in hindsight, you can do this in any draft in any sport and say they missed on the guy. Mm-hmm. The Patriots for years, in my opinion, have missed on the guy or guys, but they clearly have a philosophy. They clearly have a vision. So again, back to Donnie Sweeney's vision. I think the jury's still out on these guys. They missed right now, 1 year into that. But now with all these draft picks they have, does he have a vision? Do we know? Like, is it speed? We always known it's been big, bad Bruins, two-way hockey. What is the vision? I don't know what it is.
And that's what Andy Brickley asked when we had him on earlier. What does this team value? And that's really unknown at this point. We don't know.
Not defense.
Yeah, clearly.
Should they?
Yeah. Oh my
when
God!
When you're building a contender, you build from the blue line out.
I mean, why That's is Chicago? The most important why thing. Is Chicago so good? Yeah, for years they had a top four of Keith, Seabrook, Jalmerson, and Oduya, and they've obviously supplemented guys since moving on from Johnny Oduya. That for me, when I think of the Blackhawks, that's what I think of. I think of their defense, and obviously it helps to have world-class forwards in Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. But
and another
when
repeat
the Bruins
champion
were
in the last 5 years, the Los Angeles Kings.
Right, same sort of deal. Yeah. When the Bruins were great in 2010-11, what were they? They were Zdeno Chara, they were Dennis Seidenberg, and they were Tim Thomas playing behind them.
True. 617-779-7937. Let's go right to the phones. We're starting off with some hockey here after 10 o'clock. It's the end of the Bruins season. Pete Blackburn, DJ Bean of WEEI.com, Pete of Uproxx, UPROXS.com, if you want to find him there. We start with Paul in Mystic, Connecticut. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, firing Julian, in my opinion, is an absolute mistake. It's the coward way out. What needs to, if they want to fire anybody, look at Sweeney. Look at Neely. Look at the trades these guys have made in the last few years. If you can come up with one good one, I'll come up with five bad ones. It's ridiculous what that team does when they have talent. They go out of town, and we get nothing in return.
So in your opinion, Paul, hang on one sec. So in your opinion, if we're playing the blame game, then Sweeney and Neely deserve more blame than Claude Julien.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let me give you my two cents on that. You're talking about the trades they've made in the last 5 years. Donnie Sweeney didn't make any of those. He made them this year.
He was part of it. He was there.
Listen, don't take what I'm saying out of context.
I'm not taking it out of context. I'm just telling you, if you're going to play the blame game, let's be accurate.
I didn't say to fire anybody. I said if you're going to fire anybody, it's not Julian.
Well, what are you saying? Who would you fire and what would you do to solve this problem?
I think he's saying that the decision makers are the ones in where I think, and I think Paul is the name of the caller, where I sense a bit of the same thing as Paul is, I don't know how to assign the blame when I look at the decision makers, because I think that if I spend 4 hours screaming, Don Sweeney did this, Don Sweeney did that, I could very well be yelling at the wrong guy. I could be taking it out on the wrong guy.
Either way,
I don't know that these are all 100% Don Sweeney.
Well, either way, it boils down to who assembles the roster.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
And Claude Julien doesn't assemble this roster. He coaches what he's given.
Which,
and
again,
clearly is not good enough.
Right, and he overachieved with it this season.
So, Let's talk about Cam Neely for a sec. We got to take a break, so let's make this brief, and then we'll come back and go to Steve in the car, and we'll continue about Cam. What is Cam's role? If you had to give me, you know, if Cam was at a job interview with both you guys right now on his resume, and you asked him, what did you do with the Bruins? How does he answer that? What's on his resume that he does with the Bruins?
I said how I want, what kind of guys I wanted, and delegated appropriately. That'd be my guess. But Cam, I mean, there are some good reporters on the Bruins beat. Fluto, Steve Harris, Steve Conroy, Joey Mack, a lot of the Emily. No one's really unearthed. Here is exactly what Cam Neely does, and that's how Cam Neely wants it. I don't think he wants it known exactly how the sausage is made, which for now is probably a smart move, because if you can assign blame accordingly, then whoever's doing the brunt of it is screwing up.
Pete, we had this debate with the Red Sox for years with the three-headed monster, and everybody always came down to Larry Lucchino when it was a bad move, and others when it was a good move, whatever. With the other two teams in town, there's no debate. We know Bill Belichick's in charge down there. We also know that Danny Ainge is in charge over there. Again, how do you answer that question? What's Cam Neely's role?
I honestly don't know. And my biggest concern when Don Sweeney was the guy that they decided on after Peter Chiarelli, my biggest concern was that he was going to be a puppet for Cam Neely. And I was not confident that Cam Neely was going to be able to make the decisions to improve this team. And DJ's closer to the goings-ons behind the scenes than I am. But that was my concern. And honestly, that's still a concern to me.
All we know with Neely was a great, 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 great player. We don't know enough yet about whether or not he's a good executive. So far, signs point to that he's a bad one.
617-779-7937. Bruins Talk on WEEI right after this.
Yeah, it's something we've talked about. And, you know, the bottom line, we just had to play the way we've played against Detroit, and no more, no less, and that's all we could really ask for. And this afternoon was too many mental mistakes, and it came down to all of that. You know, most of the goals is because of the way that we've handled the puck. So
that's Patrice Bergeron yesterday after the Bruins game. Keep in mind, the Bruins didn't know whether they'd be in the playoffs or not. They did know that they put up a stinker in the final game. Just 2 days after they played with urgency and desperation and all the adjectives you want to choose against Detroit, and you thought they might come out that way, and they did by scoring the first goal with Pastrnak and jumping up and down yesterday, but ended up losing 6-1. 617-779-7937. We'll go to Steve in a car. Just a second. DJ Bean, Pete Blackburn. I'm Butch Stearns. Why? Why was this team so inconsistent? Why did we see on Thursday night and Saturday such a Jekyll and Hyde thing? And it wasn't the only time this year. As a matter of fact, it's probably the defining character of this team this year. Why?
Because they're mediocre. That's
right.
The easiest.
Bad rosters do bad things. Like, bad teams are prone to lapses.
So they're just not good enough?
Good teams are prone to lapses. And when they have these lapses, they kind of work their way out of it. I was saying on the show, they gave up 4 goals in a period twice in the last 4 games of the season. Right. That is zero testicles.
Right? I would agree with you, and it's a cliche, but when you look at the balls, or you look at the, you know, Kevin Garnett would say grit and balls or whatever, but I call them fragile.
There's a leadership issue, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's another subject, isn't it? Because doesn't that go right to what you guys were saying before? What the vision is, if it's a vision of young players and they're making a transition, if they have their toe in three different ponds, they still want to compete. They still want to develop. They still want to.
Which, if again,
well,
if
who you, are your leaders?
If you are trying to develop the young guys, and this goes back to Claude Julien, if you tell him the goal this season is to develop these young guys, do we want to make the playoffs? Of course, we want to make the playoffs. But the priority here is to be a better team at the start of next season than we are right now. Then Claude Julien can do that for you. Johnny Oduya is proof of that. A lot of guys are proof of that. Brad Marchand is proof of that. David Krejci is proof of that. The list goes on and on. When he can develop guys, and it's not all about if this guy doesn't pan out, then you're toast, or this guy needs to be great right away, and he can kind of take his time with them. Claude Julien can turn them into good players. This season, they were saying, all right, develop the guys. We need them to get better. Also, we're going to trade for guys to replace those guys, and you need to make the playoffs. And there's, as you said, they pulled him in so many different directions that I don't think Julien did any of them masterfully. The only thing really that he did was make this defense so much better than it actually was, and that's the reason why they were maybe a playoff team.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Steve in a car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
Good. I'm of the belief that you build a hockey team from the net out, actually from the goal out. Does anybody know what Rask mystery illness was yesterday?
It was a vomiting and a pooping thing.
Do you think he's had his better days in Boston than behind him as we move forward? In other words, do you think he could be traded?
Well, historically speaking, you have to assume his best days in Boston are behind him, even at his age, just because I'm not saying that he's going to get worse, but he came into the season with the best save percentage, the best career save percentage of any goaltender in NHL history. So he came in with the bar really, really high. So if he can continue to put up the numbers that he did, then fantastic. I would assume that he'll put up numbers similar to what he was prior to the season.
But if the question is, do you think that you can replace him with somebody better? The answer is probably no.
No.
Yeah. No, I guess what I'm getting is you're looking at Gustafsson. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Gustafsson sucks. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry I have to be harsh there, but people get carried away with the numbers being similar. Gustafsson is a far, far worse goaltender than Tuukka Rask.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just looking at as development as you go forward. Now they've had Subban in the system for a few years. They have McIntyre, and I'm just wondering. I think they really have to look at that position, and they have to get some defensemen. And I think they're in a 2 to 3 year rebuilding process, where I think it's going to be a long time for the Bruins.
Well, Steve, when you say, let me go back to your original point. You say you were in a belief you built from the goaltender out,
right?
But then you're saying they got to get good defensemen. And I asked these guys before their biggest identity problem or what problem was in. You both said defense. Their defense was horrible. And you look at Chicago. I don't think Corey Crawford is in the top five goaltenders in the league, is he? I don't think any Chicago goaltender in the last 5 to 6 years has been.
No, no.
Okay,
no.
He's
a very good goaltender. He had a really good season.
And we've seen how good Tuukka Rask can be with a good defense in front of him.
So that's my point, Steve. Despite what Tim Thomas did for that one season and stood on his head, and I think we all believe without Tim Thomas they probably don't win that cup the way that postseason went, are you saying if you had to prioritize one or the other, is it the premier goaltender or is it building a strong defense?
That's what I'm kind of confused about, because I would consider Rask to be maybe in the top 10 in the NHL. I wouldn't say he's top five. And I'm just, I don't know who else.
Rask?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, overall I would. Again, this wasn't a great season for him, but, I mean, you look at his career. That's like saying that Carey Price isn't one of the best goaltenders anymore because he had a lost season.
But, again, if you leave Carey Price on it, I guess the real question then becomes, how much of this year is on Tuukka?
I put him very low on the list of problems. I put him as a reason why they were able to maybe be in position to potentially get a playoff spot. And I think the Bruins thought that. I thought that they looked at the roster that they made. If they didn't, it's even more alarming. And they said, you know what, maybe we can develop some of these guys and we can get away with having a really bad defense because we've got a really good coach and a really good goaltender. And to Julien and Rask's credit, by golly, they almost did it.
And if the Bruins have a guy like Carey Price at full health, do they make the playoffs? Probably, because he's a guy that will steal you games.
Right.
But there's only one Carey Price in the National Hockey League.
I agree.
He does not play for Boston. And if you're looking for that kind of guy who's going to steal you a ton of games, you're going to have a tough time finding it because there's one guy, one or two guys
who
can do
that. The closest thing you can find to it is you have on your team.
Yes.
You have on your team.
Let's go to Jerry in a car who's next. DJ Bean, Pete Blackburn, and Butch Stearns. Hi, Jerry.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Yourself?
Hey, listen, I got a question about Neely. In my opinion, Neely is nothing but a cigar store Indian. How did he cut his teeth to get that job?
Yeah, I agree. I think that earlier on in his tenure as Bruins president, I mean, his first year, they won the Cup, 2010-11. I think, we were saying it last segment, what does Neely do? In my estimation, he says what kind of players he'd like to have on his team. He maybe even goes to the GM and says, here's an example of a guy I'd like to get. Let's see if we can get him. I think that the Nathan Horton move reeked of Cam Neely. I think that Cam Neely, and I reeked is a bad word to use because it suggests it was bad, but that had Cam Neely cologne all over it. I mean, a big power forward. Let's set up our team so our skilled offensive center has two monsters on either side of him. Let's try to win a Stanley Cup that way. They go out, they get Nathan Horton, and they do it with Lucic and Horton.
And so then even getting rid of Lucic, you replace it with Matt Beleski.
Right. So in that way, like, I think that he at times has good vision. So it hasn't all been bad for Cam Neely. I'm not saying he's been a total disaster, but I think that when you get rid of the adult in the room, which is Peter Chiarelli, and you say, all right, now, Cam, now this is your show. Hire your friends, do what you want. And that's actually unfair. I don't think the Sweeney hire is just hiring Sweeney actually did cut his teeth,
but
he was a good assistant GM for a long time.
But friends or not, we're getting to it, Jerry, what Jerry's bringing up about Cam Neely and his role.
But he only has his role because he was a great hockey player. And I hate that in the NHL.
I would say that's part of it. Danny Ainge is a GM partly because of his name. Danny was a very good player, a very good coach. And then he got into management and had to earn his stripes, and he did.
So that's what I'm saying. So Ainge had coaching experience. He had front office experience. Okay. I know that Neely was in the front office prior to being named president, but...
And the game has changed so much since Neely played.
Yes.
Such a different game. You can't play with the...
Danny Ainge coached. Neely is not coached. And you've got to get a better pulse of the team when you're his coach, too, you know?
Thanks for the call, Jerry. I think he brings up an interesting point. Again, none of us really know. We're not in that room. We don't know Cam's role. But when you do play the blame pie, and I want to get back to your comment about Tuca, Neely has to shoulder some of the blame. He's the president of the team. And if nothing else, whether Don Sweeney's his friend or not, as the president, he put Don Sweeney in place. That was his choice to be his GM. So whatever the decision-making process in there, wherever the Cam Neely cologne is, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't, because they're out of the playoffs.
Right now,
he's the president
again,
of the team,
it's so,
and he takes blame.
It's so far so bad, and I know it might sound like I'm talking about both sides of my mouth, but I can't underscore enough. I don't think they're doing a good job so far. But 1 year is too early to say that this doesn't work. What did Peter Chiarelli do first thing when he got to Boston? All right, let's get a head coach, Dave Lewis. This is the guy that I want to hire as coach. If the Bruins had fired Peter Chiarelli after that season, you could have said, this Chiarelli guy is a bad GM. He hired this coach, and yeah, he made some of these moves for defensemen late in the season, but this was a bad team. Let's fire this GM. You can maybe apply that same logic to Don Sweeney, but here's the thing, and I know that I get accused of being a Chiarelli apologist, but Chiarelli ended up being a great GM who built a Stanley Cup winning team. So after 1 year, I think it would be too hectic, too chaotic to pull the plug on Don Sweeney and Cam Neely, but they're doing a bad job.
617-779-7937. Text at 37937. Why are we sitting here today? Why are the Bruins not in the playoffs? One of the eight teams in the East heading to play some playoff hockey, which we all miss around here and haven't seen for three seasons. Now, we'll be going on three seasons. Pete Blackburn, DJ Bean, Butch Stearns. We're back with more right after this.
I don't know. There's no excuse for that. I mean, we're professionals, and we should get up for every single game, no matter how what kind of game it is in the season, game one or game 82. We should get up the same way for every single game. We did that game 81, but we didn't do it game 82. And there's a reason why we play 82 games, so we didn't do that, and that's why we lost today.
That's David Krejci after the game when asked about why was this team so inconsistent all year. And he said, it's frustrating. I don't know why. I don't have an answer. And we had to get up. We got up for game 81, but we didn't do it for game 82. And it's just as puzzled as almost all of you out there. Final segment here with Pete Blackburn and DJ Bean. Rob Bradford joining us now. Hello, Rob.
Hi. You guys are on fire. Spitting fire.
And fuego.
Rolling.
And fuego.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm impressed. Other than if I get that 20 minutes back of you getting defensive.
You and me both.
Well, Chris Curtis, in his goodbye to the station, in his 5.5-month-long sign-off,
yeah.
He did mention he took over the DNC account and he was tweeting a lot, and he made a lot of good points. And one that I totally agreed with was that hockey talk on the radio can be terrible. For whatever reason, it's the sport that translates to radio talk shows the worst. Not this morning, baby.
No, I'm going to say this.
We were sizzling.
And this morning aside.
Are you going to say this? Made the announcement. You're going to say this. Everybody.
Heard
quiet.
Happily over
I'm not going to say that. No, that's it.
What's the word?
I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. That this morning aside, that you guys had gained a ton of momentum, I felt, in the Sunday skate, the morning skate.
Yeah, the last few weeks, I think.
Well, I think, yeah, even beyond that. But you guys have gained a ton of momentum. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. A ton of momentum. And it's not. And listen, I mean, we're not talking about huge Bruin storylines for the last month. But, you know, you guys did a good job of propping up the Bruins conversation when there it was none.
So let's finish up strong with both you guys here on this
The world
this
needs
part.
A hero, Rob, you know? We're just doing what we can.
Leadership. You both mentioned leadership. We just heard David Krejci. I guess a two-part question. Is Krejci a leader of this team, in your guys' opinion, and define that? And if he's not, or beyond that, who are the leaders of this team heading into next year now?
He's a be-as-good-as-me kind of leader, which is, I think, the kind of leader that Chara is. It's that you're the best player, so here, you get a letter. Like, I always wonder how Chara leads, because in a lot of great players' minds, it's just like, I don't understand why everyone else isn't as good as me. It's almost like the Kanye West effect. Like, I'm sure that Chara looks around at his teammates sometimes
that
and is like,
so
would anybody else use that analogy?
Why isn't everyone just as automatically dominant as me all the time?
It goes back to like why Wayne Gretzky was a bad coach,
right,
because why can't you guys just be
the best?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And I don't know that David Krejci's getting in guys' faces and saying, you're letting me down, you're letting this guy down. I don't know if David Krejci's that guy. I think that Patrice Bergeron is the type of leader where you just have so much respect for everything he does that you don't want to disappoint him. But I don't know of any of the guys who are wearing letters. So there's four guys who wear letters for the Bruins. Chara, Krejci, Bergeron, and Chris Kelly. Chris Kelly's the only one who is going to absolutely lose his feces on guys. And I think that Torrey Krug is probably a guy who deserves to wear a letter. I think that he's maybe one of those guys. If and when you shake up this leadership, I'd slap a letter on that guy. But here's the thing. You're also going to deal with potentially an ugly contract negotiation between Krug and the Bruins right now because he's a restricted free agent.
Easy answers. Let me jump in, and I'm going to ask these two guys this, and I want 30 to 40 second answers, which is
me time.
Tell me what they have to do in the offseason to fix this team. Pete, I'll start with you, and I want the first word to come out of your mouth being Stamkos.
Stamkos is a great start.
Thank
and we
you.
Talked about it in Sunday Skate. Obviously the glaring hole is defense. They need to fix the defense, but beyond that, they need leadership, and we just talked about it, and Brick said it. I agree with him. They need to shake up the core. There needs to be something that changes with the core. You can't miss 2 years in a row with this core and retain them. The guy that I would get rid of first is David Krejci. I think he's a phenomenal player.
Wow.
I think he's a phenomenal player. I do. But if he's a leader, he's a very quiet leader. And this team has enough of those. They need a guy who's going to get in your face. And I think that if you trade David Krejci, you can get a good return for him. You can get the defense that helps you. And you can replace. It's going to be hard to replace David Krejci, but I think that if he's the guy, it's not a death blow to trade David Krejci.
Give me a name.
47 seconds right there, Rob.
Good work. I'll give him that. That was good. In radio time, that's like
that's perfect.
Yeah, that's like 5 minutes. So give me a name. Give me the name. The one name. It doesn't have to be Stamkos. You already did your due diligence with him. Give me the one name that you want on this team next year.
Well, if I had to give you one name, it would be Steven Stamkos, especially okay. if you're trading David Krejci. And again, that goes back to Claude Julien. Steven Stamkos isn't going to come play here if Claude Julien is gone.
TJ?
My one name will be Jacob Trouba. But if you want the answer to start with Steven Stamkos, I will say that everything that Pete said is a very good point. It sounds like a crazy pipe dream to potentially go out and get Steven Stamkos. But if you can trade Krejci and make 7.25, get some sort of defensive help that's cheaper than that, go spend $10.5 million a year on Steven Stamkos. There's your Christmas at Fenway, winning the offseason type of move to regenerate excitement in the team. And now what do you do with these two first-round picks that you have? Call up the Jets, try to get Trouba, make whatever push you can for whatever sort of RFA good young defenseman could be out there. And with or without Stamkos, I'm being aggressive and trying to find a young, good defenseman. But the issue there is, who isn't trying to do that? So you need to overwhelm teams with an offer. It's Adrian Gonzalez 2.0.
What
30
got,
seconds
Butch?
Exactly.
51.
30 seconds.
Again,
30 seconds. You're way off.
I counted.
Acceptable.
I counted.
So I want to ask this. My one last question.
Oh, we're running out of time.
I know, but this is going
to
be.
But I'm also willing to dump guys. I'm also willing to trade Chara guys like that.
Ease your way in here.
No, I'm shock and awing all the way. So, DJ, when I went in my driveway talking to you yesterday in my car after taking half a 5-hour energy, all fired up about the Bruins, I'm yelling at you saying they have to do what they did with Chara, which is they got the foundation guy,
yes.
right? They haven't really done that since. Stamkos is the closest you
yes.
can do that.
And it's not going to happen again, by the way. Chara hitting free agency, I was telling you yesterday, it took an F up of massive proportions for Zdeno Chara to somehow become a free agent and the Bruins to be able to build their team in free agency. That doesn't happen anymore. That it's happening with Steven Stamkos might be the last time in a long time that an absolute elite stud franchise-changing player gets to free agency. So if this opportunity presents itself, especially if you can sell him of, we've got the coach you like, then I do it.
We got about 2 minutes left. Let's finish with this. Will Claude get fired this week? Pete?
I think he will, and I think it's the bad choice. I think it's the emotional reaction, and they're doing it just to do it.
Yes.
You think he will get fired?
Yes.
Sweeney stays?
Yeah, there's no way he gets fired.
I think Neely stay, Claude gets fired.
Okay, here's a bigger question sort of end on, I think, for the offseason. Would either one of you guys explore trading Tuca?
I would not, no.
I would. I would explore trading everybody, but with the Tuca thing, again, it's more about roster building and trying to figure out, in this cap world, is it worth it to have the $7 million goaltender? I don't trade him for nothing, but I would explore it.
If you can trade Tuukka Rask,
but again, you need to have that next guy, so I lean towards very
if the trade-off is you trade Tuukka Rask to sign Steven Stamkos to make room money-wise for Steven Stamkos, fine. I guess I'm okay with it, but I agree that goaltender is the most important. Goaltender and defense is the most important
right.
positions on the ice.
And people
and you're not going to get better than Tuukka Rask.
So, like, I grew up not having good goaltending watching local hockey. And I used to think if I were a GM, all I would do, I would just say, whatever you want, I need Martin Brodeur. I need Patrick Waugh. You forget how important goaltending is when you always have elite goaltending.
Well, it's the Red Sox question with David Price with an ace.
Right. The yeah. Bruins fans the last however many years have had Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask that they forget. If you've got 82 games of Jonas Gustafsson, then it's no good.
Well, think about it. You brought up a good one. If you're going to trade, I mean,
but I'm willing to trade everybody.
Okay, you should be because everybody should be because if you're going to make changes, it's not just who you add. It might be who you subtract, too. Because if David Krejci is your leader of your team and there's a leadership problem, you got to explore that.
I will say,
if you
though,
need a great defense and you have a goaltender that you think is in the top of the league, but you need to build a better defense, well, you got a chip you can trade that you might be able to do that. You, know,
I
you
will
might have
say,
to swallow hard.
I will say that Pete said Krejci's the leader that he's most willing to deal. I would say it's a tie for me between Krejci and Chara. But the issue is
you're going to get more for Krejci than you will
yeah.
for Chara.
You're going to get more for Krejci than you would for Chara. And again, that would be 3 years in a row of just tearing this defense apart and not getting any better on the back end. So, and also now this season, you really need to make the playoffs because you can say that the last 2 years were your quote-unquote building years, even though they absolutely were not.
Good stuff this morning, guys.
Thank you.
This has been fun. Good
Pete work. Blackburn, DJ Bean, Hockey Talk here on WEEI. Quick break, and then we're back with more Butch and Rob Bradford up until 12:20 in Red Sox baseball today on WEEI. Stick around.